Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Thanks for listening in on this President's Day. A bit later, we'll be in-depth on what history tells us about our current president. But first to the political junkie and Ken Rudin. And hey, Ken, how are you?
Good morning, Carrie. And you realize that on this President's Day, Donald Trump has broken the record held by William Henry Harrison.
Which record?
30 days in office, and then that was it for William Henry Harrison. He got sick at his inauguration, but Trump has outlasted William Henry Harrison, which a lot of some Democrats didn't think would be possible.
I think I saw some comedian said that every day of the Trump administration feels like dog years or something, like we're measuring it. And there's going on to keep track of. I think that's it.
And you know, there was a very funny article. I think it was in the New York Times yesterday, and it basically, or maybe the Washington Post, and basically, because, you know, they're all enemies of the American people, so I get them mixed up. But there was one article where it said something like, Donald Trump still hasn't accomplished what he needed to do yet, or Congress hasn't done anything yet. It was February 17th when they wrote the article. I'm saying, wait a second. Okay, you know, I understand that we're a little anxious and you know, expecting things to happen in a hurry, because Donald Trump has shown that he can get things done in a hurry. But sometimes we have to realize this is only February of 2017.
Well, Ken, I did see that comparison, though, about legislative action. And I saw that George W. Bush already had the big tax cut bill working its way through Congress. President Obama, the stimulus package had already been signed. I mean, legislatively, he has fallen behind the last two presidents. That's fair to say, isn't it?
That's true, but Trump doesn't have a Republican cut. Oh, he does?
Wait,
Wait, what was I thinking?
Hold on.
No, that's what's so interesting. We heard for since at least 2010 that we have to get rid of Obamacare. And, of course, we were not going to get rid of Obamacare when you had a guy named Obama in the White House. And now there is no Obamacare. And there's no Obama. And now the Republicans are saying, wait a second, do we want to get rid of this thing? Do we want to? And they're not talking about it the way they used to, which I thought was pretty striking.
I think it's interesting, too, because I watched Paul Ryan's press conference last week in which he was saying, it's coming. No, the big plan is coming. 9 years later, and you still have to hold a press conference to say it's coming. What is the big holdup, Ken? What's your assessment of that?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I'm having trouble answering the question, because if you look at the polls said it wasn't a popular thing. But then you realize if you're going to now cut 20 million people out of the equation, people who didn't have health care before, and suddenly they're going to take it away from them. A lot of remember those Tea Party people who hounded those Rhino Republicans and the Democrats for supporting Obamacare in 2010, 2011. Now you're having the left wing and the progressive saying, wait a second, you get rid of this, you're responsible for cutting, basically ending health care for these millions of Americans. And a lot of Republicans saying, whoa, we're now in charge.
Don't you think a lot of this is also what Donald Trump has said about, and he said it, I think he said it again over the weekend, that as they repeal it, they're going to replace it. And he's really given them, maneuvered them into a box to try to figure out how to do that. Isn't that part of the problem?
I think so. I think absolutely. Considering the fact that he was talking for the longest time that this action would be simultaneous. It would be,
exactly.
Remember the old Lyndon Johnson joke about Gerald Ford? He couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. Well, the Republicans are going to repeal and replace at the same time. And it's a much easier concept than actual reality.
I was reading the Political Junkie newsletter. Have you gotten a look at that lately, Ken? Pretty interesting.
No, I don't see it. I don't take a look at that.
You watched the president's press conference last week, and you said that you saw, quote, petulance, childishness, paranoia, and wild accusations on display. What concerned you the most about the way that press conference went down?
You know something? It's not that he's suddenly saying, okay, I'm going to end Obamacare, or I'm going to end the trade deals, or I'm going to end immigration as we know it. I mean, the point is, he campaigned on that. For somebody to stand up and say, I am the leader, and I am telling you that the media are the enemy of the American people, that conjures up things that I don't even have to go into comparisons of history, but it's a frightening announcement that somebody's deciding who the enemies of the American people are. And when one person stands up and says, you know, I'm not blaming you of anti-Semitism, but there are more anti-Semitic attacks in this country than, you know, since you've been inaugurated, what's that all about? And then he responds by saying, I'm the least anti-Semitic person in the world, which was, of course, not the question. He hears what he wants to hear. He answers what he wants to answer. And he just says that, you know, you're lying and you're corrupt and you're crooked. And again, when you pit us against them, and it's leading to something that I hate. It sounds paranoia on my part, and it sounds like I'm leading to something that I'd rather not say, an alarmist. But it does frighten me. And again, I've been watching this for a long, long time. I've seen the rogues, I've seen the provocateurs, but this just seems to take a step further.
So, Ken, here is President Trump in his own words, and this is at his Florida rally, and he's kind of reviving this theme that it's us against them and the media. Listen.
They've become a big part of the problem. They are part of the corrupt system. Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, and Abraham Lincoln, and many of our greatest presidents fought with the media and called them out oftentimes on their lies. When the media lies to people, I will never, ever let them get away with it. I will do whatever I can that they don't get away with it. They have their own agenda. And their agenda is not your agenda.
Okay, so Ken, now I am going to be a contrarian, and I'm going to tell you that I believe what I'm going to say, and I'm sure I'll hear from a lot of people on Twitter. I think the media, all of what he just said and what you've said notwithstanding, I think the media complains too much about him. And I want to note that he held that press conference, and yes, there was childishness and petulance there, but he stood there for more than an hour. And he took questions, and yes, he didn't always answer the questions directly, but no president does. And in a lot of ways, he's good for journalists because we have to be at the top of our game, fact-checking and truth-telling about him. So tell me what you think of that.
Yeah, that last thing, I agree with you completely. I think you're absolutely right that aside from, you know, in the beginning when journalists were so giggly about him coming down the escalator, and as Leslie Moonves said, the head of CBS, that that Trump may not be great for America, but he's great for CBS. I think that was a feeling for journalists for a long, long time. I think journalists are doing a better job now, or maybe too late for the anti-Trump people who would not have liked to have seen him elected. They're doing a better job now than they did during the campaign. And I agree with you also that there is a little whininess of the media when Donald Trump says about the press, as opposed to what's really going on. But it's clear that when Donald Trump says that the media are lying, when we're talking about things that should be of paramount importance, like did Trump associates meet with Russian intelligence officials? That's not a question that the New York Times asked. The New York Times reported that. And of course, that's why you talk about the lying media and the corrupt media, because they are asking questions that they did not ask during
agreed.
The campaign.
Agreed. But here's the response to that. Even though he gets up behind the podium and he says, you know, all these questions about Russia, it's the lying media. You'll notice that he scheduled that press conference and he stood there and took the questions about it because he basically had to, right? So even though he pretends like this has no effect on him, he does feel, to a certain degree, accountable to answer some of these questions, or I don't think he'd be holding press conferences.
Okay, I'm going to give you a contrarian view. I'm going to say that the people who were out there supposedly trying to defend the administration, the Kellyanne Conways of the world, the Stephen Millers of the world, the Sean Spicers of the world, were not doing the job. Nobody can do the job that Donald Trump does. And it's true that Donald Trump said, look, they're not doing the job they're supposed to be doing. Let me take care of it, because nobody can take care of it the way I can. So I kind of think that the trip to Melbourne, Florida, the press conference we saw last Friday, I really think this was Donald Trump being Donald Trump, saying that nobody can do the job that I can do, and therefore I'm going to go ahead with it. That was my interpretation.
No, I really agree with that, and I don't think we're contrary to each other. But I think that the reason he stands there and takes the, yes, he believes he's better than Conway and Spicer, and he probably is for delivering his own version of his message. But I think the reason he takes the fifth or sixth question about contact with Russian officials between he and his administration and Russia is because, to a certain degree, he feels the pressure to be accountable. You don't see that.
Well, no, I feel that by him saying no and his millions of people who believe whatever he says, I mean, I see him tweeting things that are just so out there, and thousands of people like it on Twitter and Facebook and all these things because they believe him. I think that he knows that no matter what the corrupt media have to say, he'll say, no, I know it's dark out there, but really the sun is shining. They'll believe him, and he knows that people will believe him. I will give him one credit, though, that I do agree with him that Thomas Jefferson was a fierce opponent of CNN, and Thomas Jefferson never failed to say that, and I agree with him on that one.
Okay, so on Twitter here, Jesse is saying to me, this contrarian view is sycophantic. Jesse, please, believe me, I am no Trump sycophant. Anna is saying the left...
You may be sick of Trump. You may be sick of Trump, but not a sick of fan.
Anna says the left hates Trump and they still don't understand how he won. He won because America agrees with what he says, media bias included. What would you say to that, Ken?
Look, I spent 20 years at NPR, and I mean, look, I am not the arbiter of bias, but I always felt in my whole career that there was a bias, and a liberal bias in the media. In my years and decades of reporting, more reporters did vote for Mondale over Reagan. They voted for Kerry over Bush. They voted for, you know, Democrats over Republicans. I'm aware of that. But I think my objection to Trump has nothing to do with liberal bias in my view. Look, I could be delusional like every other reporter, but I just feel that there's just a contempt for the truth, for the decency, for the civility of the process of the American people, or for the truth.
I don't disagree with any of that.
That's what irks me the most. That's why I throw things at the TV, because he'll say things that are blatantly not true.
But then it is incumbent on us to let none of it slide. And can you address this really well when you said the media was kind of half asleep, you know, when all this began? Me, NPR, NPR probably included in this. And it's been good for us.
Right. Well, I don't think anything. If it felt good for us, why am I so depressed at the every day? But I agree with you. I feel that media are doing a better job than they started out to do. But again, catch up is not. It may not be efficient, you know, as efficient as I would like, considering the fact that he still feels that he can say what he wants, and his supporters who will say, look, you know, the media are out to get him, and many media reporters are out to get him. And so if it's a choice of the old media or the new, fresh way of looking at things, I'll take the Donald Trumps. And there's a lot of people who feel that way.
You know, this is going to be good because we've got two historians, and I think they've been listening in to what we've been saying here. So I'll be very curious to know what they think. Ken, thank you.
Thank you so much. See you next week.
All right. I'll see you next Monday. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, with us every Monday at the top of the hour.